Hello, everybody. This is episode 18 of the Off Center Archers podcast. This is Stephanie.
And I'm Anthony.
And that is the correct way that you open.
No, that was fucking boring and like semi-dull professional.
Thanks. Well, you didn't even mention our names in that one. The other one that they don't hear that we didn't record.
That's fine. Whatever. Let's go.
Anywho. Okay, so now you can continue with what you were gonna say in the deleted part. Did you forget already?
Yeah, I had like a whole thing going in my head where I was actually going to say our names and everything, but
so yeah, no, you bombed all that. Yeah, go ahead.
So anyway, this week we haven't recorded an episode in like 2 weeks now. A lot of stuff has been going on here for us.
Busy.
Been very busy. But we did actually get to the range with everything. Steph did shoot with the EZV sight on hers.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we made changes to her bow. Draw length wise, several adjustments.
So why don't we just start with that before we?
Okay, that's fine.
So I think we mentioned in the last episode that we were gonna turn my bow down.
Yes.
So we actually ended up turning it down
like
to
2 pounds.
50. Yeah, it's now 50 pounds, and the Bowtech suggested that I actually change my draw length.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said he came in and watched a shoot a couple shots, and it was basically you had too much free play at the back.
Yeah. So do you remember what he changed it by? The actual measurements?
He shortened it by like, well, he put your bow in the bow press, moved the module to 1/2 inch shorter, and then tightened some of the twists up some more on the string.
Mm-hmm.
Which probably took away almost somewhere between like 5/8 and 3/4 of an inch of your draw length, which made your back wall much more solid. You weren't bouncing nothing, so.
Yeah, I have to say, it actually felt a lot better. I mean, it wasn't always necessarily the weight, but it felt like I had a better stopping point.
Yeah, the back wall, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
So that actually helped a lot. That ended up changing a lot. Was there something else that we changed?
The sight.
No, I mean, besides that.
Before. No, not really.
Okay, I thought there was.
No.
But with those two, I ended up shooting a lot better.
Yes.
I ended up being able to hold the bow a lot better.
Yeah, it was much more secure. You weren't creeping forward because you were able to stay, like, locked on the back wall.
Mm-hmm.
So, pretty much it eliminated the creeping that you had before that I kept saying that you were doing here and there. And we loaded it by 2 pounds.
Yeah,
so
it wasn't
really
a
huge difference. It was just like, all right, you know, we do half a turn each one. And
yeah, so that made a huge difference. And I was also a lot more stable holding
yes,
it.
Yes, you were much more stable.
And then we put this is actually in the same weekend that we got the inserts for the EZV site.
Yes.
For my bow.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put that on mine to try out. Mm-hmm. And I actually did pretty well.
You did really good with it. You know,
with the target that they sent. With the deer target, yes.
With the deer target with the two dots for the alignment.
So when you first get it, it's, I think it did take me like a round or two to get used to it.
Well, it's the same thing I said, though.
Yeah.
That was the thing that even both of us read from, like, the original comments,
mm-hmm.
was that it took, like, 2 or 3 rounds to get used to looking through it.
Yeah.
So.
And then, but, I mean, after that, once you see, like, where your shots hit with where you're kind of, like, lining it up, you kind of get an idea of where, like, okay, this is kind of how it sits.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But, I mean, you know, obviously, if you're aiming out in the middle of the woods at a deer, it's the one shot. You can't, like, make one and then, oh, wait, let me adjust.
Yeah, exactly,
So,
you get that one
how it lines up with where you're aiming it. So, that took a couple rounds. It wasn't your normal pin sight where you can just, like, wherever the pin is, okay, that's where it's supposed to go.
Yeah, we, and then it you was adjust no, just it like then, yeah, or easy adjustments.
Yeah, and then we didn't really have to make any adjustments.
I did a generalized lineup at home, which I've referred to in our other podcast as my like ghetto counter measuring.
Yeah,
where basically I put your bow on our kitchen counter at the very corner, measured from the wall to where your 20-yard pin was, and I did I lined up the mark where the 20-yard the 20-yard pointers are on the EZV with it. And it was, I mean, would I move it a 16th of an inch? Maybe it was off at most.
Yeah, it wasn't off by much.
Yeah.
And then we moved it back to 30.
Yeah.
To see, and I lined it up the same way.
Yep.
And it worked. Yeah, I mean, your grouping honestly,
was
it worked.
Right. I mean, where you were hitting, which pretty much you were hitting just above like where I was when I first did my review of it. Where mine was the line between the heart and the lung, you were like an inch above that, which was pretty much almost, you were just lower than the center mark where both of those two dots would have perfectly lined up.
Right.
But when we moved it back to 30, you were hitting the exact same spot.
Yeah. No, it actually worked out really well.
Oh, and also, just in case anyone's wondering, since Steph's bow was put down to 50 pounds and everything, her bow had the 245 foot per second insert in her bow.
Yeah, we adjusted it accordingly.
Well, I put the 245 in just because I knew we were lowering the bow. I was like, all right, this is the lowest one he gave me.
Well, yeah. Already figured for that, though.
I figured it may have been the 250, but your back-to-back shots were identical with the 245.
Yeah. So yeah,
there was no reason for me to move it. But he did send us the 245 through 255.
So, I mean, honestly, it's pretty, it does what it says it does. It is pretty on target for when you line it up, and then you don't have to actually adjust for, there is no sighting in the rest of it. There's no.
No, once you're done. I mean.
Yeah, once you have your first measurement, I mean, 20 yards, it's, you're done.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then it's just learning how to use it, like learning to get used to how it lines up. And then that's it.
I mean, it does what it claims. It really does. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also tried it on the circle targets.
Yeah, you did.
And honestly, you can, after one shot and you're like, okay, that's where I have to line it up. You can use it on another target. But your first shot is not going to be there. You have to figure out where your outer edges are. Like this one, it actually ended up being the exact outer ring where the two Vs were supposed to like hit.
Mm-hmm.
There, as soon as they touched both the outer rings, that was where I was supposed to be. So it worked out like that. But for a circle target, I mean, obviously pin sight's going to be.
Well, yeah, it's not a precision piece. This is
This is not made for target shooting, though. This is made for hunting.
No, this is made for an animal.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, but I tried it anyway. I was going to say I was going to try it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you use it all the time and you get used to, you know how when you use something all the time?
Yeah.
And you know how the ins and outs work?
Yep.
And you could probably know, like, okay, that size target, this is where it's going to, has to fall.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, that's how I'm starting to feel with my sight right now, because it's like, all right, I'm so used to having that Trophy Ridge Peak on my bow that I know what sights I want next. I know what releases, you know, that we want to try next and stuff like that. And I'm starting to feel like before I was busting your chops, I was like, you know, Steph, we got to change this micro bright out. Yeah, it's been on your bow for months. I'm the only one trying new stuff out. Now I'm like, I really like this sight.
Yeah. Well,
you know.
How the tables have turned.
Yeah, it is. So, but no, you did. You did. You did actually really well.
Yeah, with the EZV. We can't see your wrist is digging. So we can't really comment on the hunting aspect because we haven't taken it out hunting.
Right.
So
I want to take it back to the range because we do have that 3D
turkey
in the closet.
Oh, and it's
supposed
it
to actually
turkey.
Be able. It's supposed to be the size of the turkey also. So.
Yeah.
But that day at the range, we wouldn't have been able to do that. I mean, there was, what, 8 of us in there?
Yeah, there's too many packed. People. Our turkey would have gotten destroyed.
Yes, it would have. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I would have had no problem with, you know, Magic and Frank shooting at it. I don't care.
Hmm.
Especially with them, too.
No, overall, I mean, the only thing that I have with it that I'm a little iffy is all that yellow.
Well, that's something I said too. Yeah, but that's I think that's the idea of learning how to look through it.
Yeah, I guess when you get used to it, it's not really there anymore, and it is durable.
We do shoot in a super, super bright.
So I guess I really can't comment on how much yellow there is until I take it out, because who knows? It might be like, oh, okay, this really helps.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but I mean, overall, it does what it says it's going to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you set up your first distance, and then the rest are all lining up, and then you just get used to it, and that's it.
Yep. No, I agree.
So we'll have to see how it does in the 3D.
Yeah, we'll bring it back out with us, because I know mine is the 280. 275 is my bow with my carbon arrows. I can't shoot my FMJs with it. They're just too damn heavy.
Right.
Whatever. Mine's the 275 and yours is the 245. So we can always take it back and try it with the turkey, see how it does with that, just for fun. I mean, but right now, I mean, shooting at the paper target and getting accustomed to shooting it, I mean, for me, it did what it did, so
it did what it says. I did have a grouping out of it, though.
Yeah, you did. You had a solid grouping, too.
Yeah, it wasn't all over the place.
No, it wasn't.
You would think that you couldn't get, like,
a couple times you slap the arrows together.
Yeah, you would think that you wouldn't be able to with that as long as it's in the vitals.
Right.
Or, like, what they're shooting for. But what they're shooting for, but literally what they're shooting for.
Yes, I got you.
I still got a really good grouping out of it, so it's still accurate.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, it all comes back to just getting used to it.
Even when you shot at the paper target, they were right on top of each other because you were aiming at the same spot over and over and
over. Yeah, because I knew, okay, this is where my points have to be.
Right, yeah, yeah. It was like your first arrow was like, okay, this is not where, okay, this is where I have to aim. Mm-hmm. So.
No, it was good. It worked out.
It did. I definitely like it. And also the changes for your bow definitely helped.
Yeah, that also helped too. That helped with me being a little bit more stable.
Right.
And I could take my time a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah. We finally got you to slow down pretty good.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
You know, hell, you're not like letting arrows rip in like 5-6 seconds. I mean, for the majority of it, you were standing there for a good 15 seconds. You know.
It's all mental, aiming though. And,
you know.
I think
but you are. You were focusing more. I think also the fact that the last couple times we've rented a range, there's been a lot of people.
Yeah.
So that whole thing, like you say, you have your what the hell?
People anxiety?
People panic?
People panic.
Your people panic.
It's not target panic.
It's not target panic. It's people panic. But no, the last couple times you actually did a lot better just because there's more people and you're like, fuck all this shit. I'm just going to shoot. You know, you finally got out of your own way, kind of.
Almost. With that.
No. It's still there, here and there. It's there when you get mad. That one shot where you're like, fuck, I yanked. And then for like the next three shots, you're like, all right, you just finish your round. Like, it's going to be a bad round. I'm going to go sit over here in the corner. It's your turn to shoot now, and I'm going to go breathe.
This round is in the toilet already.
This round's in the toilet, yes. So, but no, you did really good with it, which is good.
Yeah. So we'll see how it does in the 3D, the dummy.
Yeah, we'll get back there with the dummies. I want to try. I still want to buy a 3D deer. I don't care if it's one of the big ones or one of the smaller ones. I'll buy one of the $100 ones just to use it for a season and throw it out. So.
Yeah, we'll see.
Just got to see if we have anywhere to put it.
That's the problem. That's we don't have storage.
Yeah.
We could always tie it to the ceiling. You put those little.
Some would probably have them.
Our hooks that you know those hooks you have in garages.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could just put them on the ceiling, and you do storage because people do bikes on the ceiling, so you could just hang your 3D targets on the ceiling of your house. It might be a little awkward for guests though, walking in your house and you got deer and turkey and a bear and maybe a gopher.
You are dying to get them little ones, aren't you?
No, I think it just bugs me that someone ripped the ears off the rabbit.
Off the rabbit, yes.
Yep. Like, who does that?
I don't know. It's asshole.
Yeah, someone ripped the. They have like, I guess, not samples.
Display models.
Displays, and there's the rabbit. It's like a little rabbit, and the ears are ripped off. They're ripped off the rabbit.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I think the gopher's ears are missing too. His head was perfectly round. Now
someone's got issues. Someone's got ear issues.
I'm waiting to go in there one day and see one of the antlers missing off the deer that someone just like ripped it right out of the deer's head.
I wouldn't be surprised.
No, it wouldn't shock me at all.
No, actually, you know, I think that'd be a good idea. Putting all of our 3D dummies in the ceiling. It's disturbing, but it'd work.
Oh, yeah, it'll work. Make like a hunting room.
For parties, you gotta take them down.
Yeah, well, whatever.
A little awkward.
Get them old school shelves with the metal racks you put on the walls. You just leave the hooks laying straight out and you just hang them right on top of there.
Yeah.
You know.
We can do that too. If we think of any creative ideas for storing 3D dummies, we'll let you guys know. I'll put up pictures of it. Because I know not everyone lives in a huge house with the ample amount of closet and storing space.
No, we definitely do not.
No. So I know it'll definitely help out to those that are also in the same predicament of space. Or if you have kids and there's the majority of toys and then your stuff's in the corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's us. Yes. Our 2-year-old son has an amusement park in our living room. An ample amount
of things.
People think I'm joking. I have a swing and a slide in my living room. Hey. Not a very big one, but.
Why not?
Yeah, it's one of those 3-foot.
I wanted to build a little treehouse in the corner.
Yeah, you did. That's true.
It'll fit.
I know.
It'll look really cool.
I just don't want to rip it down because we want to move.
No, we could just bring it with us.
No, yeah. I have to take it apart, though.
So what?
Okay. All right, next topic. Jesus. People are like, we're listening to the show to listen to archery, not you to talk about your son.
In his little house, he can go from the upper level with a beginner little bow with the suction cup on the arrow.
Speaking of beginner bow, I saw a little cute bow the other day, and I almost, I so wanted to buy it. It's called, shit, who makes it? I think it's a PSE. It's called a mini burner.
Really?
Yeah. It does like 5 to 19 pounds.
Oh, that's cute.
Oh, yeah. Literally, it's like 5 times the size of my hand. I have big ass hands, folks. So I wear a size 13 wedding ring. It's 22 inches tall. I mean, it's the cutest little itty bitty thing.
You never know.
Yeah. He'll end up shooting. Who are you kidding? Everything we do, he's like, bro, what are you doing?
What is the youngest archer out there right now?
I saw a picture of a kid the other day.
Okay. Weeding out the prodigies.
No, weeding out. Well, no, this kid was probably like with the father was in the backyard with the kid in the photo I seen. And it was probably like in the photo, it said the kid was like 4.5.
Okay.
Which is actually really cool. And it looked like one of those little mini burner bows. So, and it's a full compound bow. It's not even like a little recurve. It's a full compound.
Oh, it's not a recurve?
No, it's a compound.
Oh, I thought it was a little recurve.
No,
you know
it's
the
a
ones with like the little darts on the arrows?
No. This was a bow. Like this thing shoots arrows.
Oh.
Like the arrow the kid was using was a crossbow bolt with a regular knock put in it.
But
it had a glued-in target tip.
The end of our son's tips on the arrows will be like the little suction cups to start off.
Okay, we're going to start him off with some Nerfs?
Yeah, for very good reasons.
Shoot his buddy in the head.
Very, very good reasons. So, where were we?
We were trying to find the next topic, but we went on a 5-minute tangent on our son.
Who cares? Other people have kids out there.
Oh, and by the way, actually, since we're talking about like people who listen to our show, we do view our stats and stuff like that, and we know we're like new, and this is just something fun for a husband and wife to do. But the fact that like we're seeing people in England, New Zealand, of course she does the drunken bar voice. Was it England, New Zealand, Canada, France? That's really cool. You know, if you guys listen and everything like that, you know, what's up? I mean, that's actually really awesome that, like, we have people in other countries. That's absolutely mind-boggling. So, all right, what was the next topic?
Mind-boggling?
It is. It really is.
Boggling. Yeah, no, I'm not saying anything bad about it.
Well, it's fine. You know, I've been to Canada a bunch of times in my life. You know, I've got a bunch of family in Canada. And, yes, they all say A.
A.
But that's cool. Like, Canada's next door, especially us, the fact that we're in New York. Canada's 5.5 hours away. Not a big deal.
Depends on which side you're looking at, though.
It's not an 8-hour flight across an ocean where that if you crash, you die. You know, I can get on 87 and go north and hit Montreal.
Oh. No, they're, I think that is pretty cool that we have
it is.
Listeners.
I mean, it's really wild. I mean, you know, you're like seeing stats and I'm like, and you know, you're so used to just being here in the States and everything like that. And you see these abbreviations and I'm like, what the fuck is FR?
DE.
What the hell state is FR? You get all confused, and I'm like, maybe it's a Canadian initial, and then I look it up on Podbean, and it's like, no, dummy, it's France. I'm like, oh, wow, that's N-E-G-R-D-N. Awesome.
N-E-G-R-D-N. No, yeah. D-E.
Yeah, D is Denmark.
D-E.
But yeah, I mean, the one I gave it away was N-Z. When I seen N-Z, I'm like, mm-hmm. wait a minute, that's got to be New Zealand.
Yeah.
So definitely really cool that there's like people in other countries. Really do actually appreciate everyone listening. All right, so what's next? What else have we done?
We bought that magnifier for my site.
Yes, we did order the magnifier.
That thing is really, really
good. Right after we did the EZV with your bow, since we had a bunch of extra time at the range because, you know, we had nothing else to do that night, actually. Mm-hmm. We did switch we switched you back to the True Glow Archer's Choice.
The single pin.
The single pin, yes. Mm-hmm. And you did, I mean, you did fine with it.
Well, because
it didn't
now,
have the magnifier yet.
No, but see, now I'm shooting it with my other adjustments on my bow.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Your bow was already adjusted after your adjustments and after the EZV.
No, I'm saying, though, I did better with it this time around than I did in the beginning. Because we made the adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fixing more of my posture, which I'm... Repeatedly told.
We changed your hand position, too.
Yeah, we changed a lot of things.
Well, I was trying to get you more comfortable. I mean, you were shooting with your hand at a straight and parallel to your face, like your knuckles were straight up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see, like, you were having to, like, really, really squeeze your bicep to keep your hand straight. And that's why I told you, like, cock your hand on a 45. And then all of a sudden, your arm loosened up.
But see, I wasn't tightening my bicep for it.
You don't notice you do. That's what
just
I'm saying.
Just my muscle is so massive that
oh,
it looks like.
Oh, your muscle's
massive.
That just...
No, changing that, it did help.
It took a lot of the tension off your back. That's another thing that helped you stop creeping forward because your arm and everything wasn't tired.
No longer a creeper.
No longer creeping.
And What else? Oh, I didn't realize that I was putting so much pressure on my face with the string.
Yes, because you were doing the 90-degree angle. Mm-hmm. You were getting so much, like, pressure of the string into your face that you were actually leaving a mark from the string on your face.
But, you know, the funny part is that you don't feel it the way you think you would feel it. You think you'd feel
it's a thin string.
All that pressure.
Right.
No, I'm just
saying, as an example.
Yeah,
you don't feel nothing.
You don't realize it. That's also why it's good to shoot with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So they can tell you, like, okay, hey, this is, you know, what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. Because
you can't always pinpoint everything unless you're a professional archer who's been shooting for years upon years.
Right.
You can feel yourself out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I can't.
Well, we did, too. Yet. I mean, like, we got you, like, through the whole rundown now where you know... Step to the line, get my feet in the right spot, blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
posture.
I've been going through more of that in my head, too.
And your shots have been getting better and better and better.
And not catching the bow. When I let go. And
yes.
I can't, you have to really break.
You
that's
to break
a bad,
that.
That's a
yeah,
hard
yeah.
habit to break.
It is.
Because it's your natural tendency that if something's going to fall, like not to let
oh,
go.
Oh, yeah, don't let it hit the ground.
Yeah.
I don't want to break my shit.
But you have a strap on, so... This the sling.
Wrist sling.
Yeah, it's a strap goes around your wrist.
Just keep going.
What?
I know Dre's going to pick on that one and just laugh his ass off. You know you got a strap on.
Oh, you guys are jerks.
Yeah, exactly. Dre's going to run with that one.
You people know what I meant. Get your mind out of the gutter.
And Dre, I'm going to get you to shoot a bow because I know you listen to this shit. One day, I swear to God. But yeah, no, you did much better than... We ordered you your 2x magnifier for it,
so
which showed up.
So explain the magnifier and the price we got it, because we actually got it for a pretty good price.
We got it for $39. Mm-hmm. It's normally $49.
You got it on sale.
I got it on sale. It was
always
on sale on Gander's
sales.
Website.
Always look for sales.
Which was actually kind of funny that it was actually cheaper on Gander's website than it was on Amazon. So that's why I picked it up from them.
'Tis the end of the season.
Yeah, plus I like to mess with our bow techs. I'm like, dude, look what we got. And, you know, especially that Matt. Uses a single pin sight. Oh, you got a magnifier, bro. I'm so jealous. He got all,
yeah.
all kind of like bent out because he wants one for his.
It really works.
It does. And we installed the 2x magnifier on yours, went back in, and what was your first thing?
Oh, Jesus. you know, with this magnifier, you look through it and then you realize how unstable you are. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can think you're pretty stable and you're not swaying, mm-hmm. but that, man, that 2-time magnifier, any magnifier, I just realized how much I was swaying.
Oh, yeah.
Because it
yeah.
looks like I'm swaying more because it's in a magnifier. Whereas well, without it's
double
it,
the size.
Yeah, without it, you don't really see it as badly. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, that was bad.
No.
I was still getting good grouping.
You were getting good grouping because you were paying attention to your stability.
Ugh.
The more you shot that day with the magnifier on there, the more you paid attention to my shoulders got to be in the right spot. I got to be stable, mm-hmm. you know.
And then the more I did not catch the bow, the better I was doing.
Yes.
So.
And for anyone who is also new, you're not supposed to have like a death grip on a bow. Otherwise, you could torque it and you could derail the string. So your front hand is supposed to be like nice and loose. They refer to it as you're not supposed to hold a bow with your muscles. The bow is supposed to be skeletally supported. So your arm is in a straight position. Everything's like, you know, slight bent. This way you don't like hyperextend any of your joints. But you support the bow, your skeletal wise, not actually with your muscles. So your hand is supposed to be in a position either open or your fingertips are just touching the riser, but it's supposed to be a nice, loose, comfortable grip where the bow sits in the V pocket between your thumb and your index finger.
Yep. And you just let it kind of fall. Not like fall.
Not fall. It's not going to fall. It's not going anywhere.
It just kind of goes.
Yeah, but most people make the mistake of either the grip, they make their grip so damn loose. Like, I can shoot with my hand open, my bow doesn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You could do the same thing, too. But there's times where you pull the trigger, but you think you pull the trigger before your hand shuts. So, and that's what you were doing. You were like, you were trying to time the thumb on the trigger and the yank on the bow.
That's natural.
And
that's
it was, yes, yes. But you started to paying more and more attention to it where you shot it, you heard the thump, and then your hand closed on the bow. So the arrow was already completely gone.
Well, yeah.
And that's when I'm in the background going, fuck, she just put two arrows on top of each other. Yeah. There goes another set of veins.
No, you know. I'm good.
No, they were good. I mean, we actually didn't break anything this time.
You've been breaking more.
It's been breaking a lot.
Yeah. Like the light up knocks.
Yeah. It's all right. It's all good.
Ugh. But those things are great, though.
They are great. They're like cheating. They are definitely cheating.
Not really like cheating. Just showing you
where
you aim.
I don't need binoculars to see where I was aiming. They're like, to the right.
Yeah, but they help you see where you landed. It doesn't have anything to do with...
Oh, I understand that. Yeah. The thing I like, too, is that they actually add some weight to the back of the arrow. Because, I mean, knocks are feather freaking light. There's no weight to even mine with my X series being the fact that they're so damn small because of the carbon and aluminum fused arrow.
Right.
The knock is so damn narrow that there's no weight. So at least by me putting the lighted knocks on them, I added like 20 to 25 grains on the ass end of the arrow, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny part is that your knocks and my knocks weigh the same thing, and yours are like twice the size of mine.
Yeah.
So.
But those work out really great.
Yeah, they do.
Those are definitely worth the money,
mm-hmm.
I have to say, because not having to squint.
And we are using nocturnals, by the way.
Yeah,
in case anyone's wondering, we actually got the nocturnals from Gander.
Yeah.
So if y'all listen to this too, we love your stuff.
So I mean, like,
definitely a big fan.
For three of them, it was like what, $25?
Well, no, the second time I bought them, they were on sale for $19 or $20, basically.
Yeah.
So,
but worth it.
The first time they were $24.99 for the first. For each of the 2-3 packs I bought the first time, and then the second time I bought them, they were on sale.
And I mean, honestly, once you have all your arrows with them, then whenever you see a sale, just get a pack here, get a pack there.
Right.
So if you do ever lose one or one breaks or anything, you're not getting caught in a situation where you're buying full price all the time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's why, I hoard all my coupons, and then when I can get it its cheapest, I'll buy it extra, even if I don't need it.
Well, the thing that made me laugh is like the guy that showed up with that sexy ass freaking PSE Evolve.
Oh, that bow is nice.
Yeah, a guy shows up with a brand new
90% let off.
He said he had his set on 90.
90% let off. But it was a 70-pound bow, 90% let off. I think they're like rated at 345 feet on the IBO. It's disgustingly fast, or 340, something like that.
It was nice.
And he had lighted nocks on his, but you couldn't tell. I mean, his were extremely dim compared to the one to the ones we were using. I don't know what brand he was using.
I think they were just older.
Yeah, I don't know. Though they looked also smaller. Like, nocturnals look beefy.
Yeah, but I don't think they last forever. No, it says the X amount of hours.
20 hours. It's the battery's supposed to last.
Yeah.
So, but...
So, if you're on, like, hours on
2 minutes at a time, I mean, they're going to last forever.
Yeah.
But I'll break the hours first.
He was an older gentleman, so you don't know how long he had...
But, I mean, then that bow was an animal. My God.
Yeah, that was a really nice bow.
I think it was a nice, nice bow.
But isn't that the newer one?
Yes, it's the brand new Evolve 30. He has the 31. That's why I asked him. I was like, oh, man, we took it out of the case. I'm like, oh, did you get the 31 or the 35? He's like, there's two of these? I'm like, that means you got the 31.
What's the difference between the...
31-inch axle to axle or 35-inch axle to axle? Like, my bow is 30-inch axle to axle. Your Stinger is like a 34. How your bow's taller than mine.
Okay.
The 35, primarily how it normally goes, if a tall person would want a 35,
mm-hmm.
or a person who wants a bow that's more forgiving. The longer axle to axle, the more forgiving the bow is. Like my bow, my Bear, that Crux is a 30-inch axle to axle and is extremely testy and violent when it fires.
Okay.
If I was shooting another model of a Bear, let's say like the Arena 34,
mm-hmm.
it could be set on the same pound, same speed, same everything. The 34 would feel completely different, even though it's just 4 inches longer.
Oh,
string
okay.
angle's different. It's not as a violent throw. So.
Okay.
But yeah, no, he had the 31. And I mean, you got to give it to PSE also. I mean, the way their limbs are made and everything, a 31 actually looks much larger than a 31 would normally look. Like, I look at my Bear and I could tell it's a 30. It looks short.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas even your Stinger, you look at your bow and it looks like it's a 37-inch long bow. Meanwhile, it's probably like 34, 33 and a half, you know. So his 31, especially that the Evolve cams are quite large,
mm-hmm.
it's a 31. It's kind of like how a lot of people refer to the DFX cams that are on the Hoyt Carbon Defiance and stuff like that. The cam is so large that... Sorry, I'm drinking tea. so I'm burping now. The DFX cam is so large on the Defiance that a 30-inch bow, as the cam rotates back, as you pull the bow back, the cam mm-hmm. lobes out so high that it feels like you're shooting a 34-inch bow.
Oh.
You know, so it's
just... you're better with the statistics, remembering all the statistics than I am.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of... I'm horrible at remembering all that
no,
stuff.
Like, well, like, for me, if we wanted to get into target shooting, I would automatically go after, like, what's the Hoyt?
Defiant?
No. That's the hunting bow.
Hoyt what?
The one that Dudley has.
Yep, no.
There's like the Podium and whichever. Like the PSE has the Dominator, whatever. But those are like 37, 39-inch long bows. That would be what I would go for a target bow.
Mm-hmm.
Like for you, you'd be able to use like a 37 or a 35 and just wreck everybody because you're like 5'2".
I was going to say, isn't that getting close to like my height?
Yeah. You said it that time.
Yeah, I know. I know. So. I'm fine with it. Perfectly fine with my height. I don't want to be...
But, yeah, so then you did really well, though, I mean, with the magnifier on yours.
Yeah, no, really, really that's good. Definitely worth it. I think if I ever had to look through a sight without a magnifier on it, I don't want to know.
Because, I mean, at 30 yards, you were going, like, almost shot for shot with
those,
me.
The days of non-magnification are over.
The days of non-magnification are over.
They are over. Nice. I don't think I'm going to go with a sight without a magnifier on it.
Yeah, well.
Once you move up in the world, you know, you can't regress. Come on. Can't go stepping backwards. So now, I know once you put one on yours.
If Trophy Ridge made a magnifier for that peak, which I've looked up on Trophy Ridge's website, and I actually find it kind of that it's a bummer that even for their single pins, they don't make a magnifier.
Oh, wait. Let's retract. Let's step backwards to the last episode.
Yo, yes, where yes, you said I did that, say I didn't think there was a magnifier for multi-pins. Where you said
that it was not possible to make a magnifier for a multi-pin site. Yes. And would you like to explain what you found?
I went on SpotHog's thing because that's one of the next sites I want to get. I want to get the SpotHog Fast Eddie, just because I found out they have multiple magnifiers and this and that, and it's lighter weight now with the new model and their new multi-ring housing for the site. So it's supposed to help align the site up with the peep better and all this other stuff. So I'm like pumped up about their shit. And I either wanted it for either me or you, mm-hmm. especially with you. You want the magnification, and they have a 2x, a 4x. I couldn't imagine putting 4x on a 20-yard shot. Be great. Like, oh my god, you know, the sights like that, my nose,
and touch the target.
Yeah. So, and sure as hell, like they're Hoggett 7. I think it's the Hoggett. I'm sorry if the guys from SpotHog happen to hear this, if I'm butchering which site it is, but they actually make magnifiers that the back portion of the housing comes off and you put the magnification lens on, and like the magnification lens is actually notched where you can put the lens right on it and screw it in place. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's so far they're the only ones I've seen it from though, which is SpotHog.
It's still made,
right? No, that's everybody makes them for single pins. So like True Glow makes theirs that you have now.
It's still made.
Yes, you are absolutely correct.
It's not impossible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely possible.
Like I said.
So it was actually really cool that I did find that though. I even said that too after I found it. I'm like, oh, this is, she's going to make me eat my words in one of the podcasts for this.
Damn it.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't care. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I don't care. I'll admit it.
And when I'm what? I'm.
Well, I just said when I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
And I'm.
Oh, when you're right, yeah.
Okay, wait, you said it again?
I admitted that you were right.
Okay. Wait, one more time, and it didn't come through.
See, this is the husband and wife part of the show. Yes, you were right, honey.
There you go.
So, but, yeah, I mean, it's wild. I mean, that there's mm-hmm. actually a multi-pin magnifier, which is cool.
The age of technology.
Yeah, who would have thought? Absolutely. Yeah, who would have thought, right? Yeah, who would have thought?
Wow.
So.
But that was the new... The new items that we did for the past two, 3 weeks.
Right.
3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, it has been 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's been 3 weeks.
It's been kind of slow. Busy. I am ordering this week. I'm ordering the 12-inch static stabilizer.
Yeah, we got to put a longer stabilizer on mine.
Yes, and we're going
to try and...
Well, do you want me to order two of the 12s, or do you want to try the 9 that's on mine?
I'll try the 9 first.
Okay.
And then we'll see how I do from there.
Okay.
And then if not...
Well, because right now you have an 8-inch stabilizer on yours.
Oh.
So I can order the 12, and we can do two of the 12 setups that I want to do, where it's the 12 forward and the 9 side.
What
are
the
12s
run for?
What did I find on Amazon for? $42? 40 something. I don't have my phone.
Well,
that don't go on Amazon, people, and steal these things out from under me. That's not cool. So
I'm pretty sure Amazon has more than one.
No, actually, it shows like 4 in stock right now. So I may post this tomorrow after I order these. But
I don't mind trying the 9 first, honestly.
Okay, you can do the 9.
Instead of...
So I'm saying we'll put the 9 that's on my bow on yours. And see how you do with it, and then we'll have them all.
Yeah.
I'll have them with me at the range anyway. So we'll have the 9 with us, the 12 with us. I'll have the sidebar adapter with me.
Yeah, I gotta, I gotta make sure that it's not a slight
$41.67 right now on Amazon. And then I'm also gonna be ordering the True Glow stabilizer adapter. Anyone who's looking for this thing, it's actually pretty cool. It's like the bar you would put your wrist sling through. It actually has the adapter for the sidebar on it. It has notches for vertical and side adjustments, so you could always line it up in the exact same spot. But that's also $42. which is a good price. So if you look it up on Amazon, it's TG87B is the part number for True Glow's thing. And then, so we'll have that mixed with my bow will have a 12-inch forward and a 9-inch sidebar.
Oh, wait. So, okay.
Well.
No, I was just listening to what you were doing.
So. And then. I don't know. And we'll see which one you like. If you want a 12, we can get 12 for yours. You also got to keep in mind that in the spring, when it comes time to, if we decide to go get into
3D.
Like 3D competitions, the longest stabilizer you are allowed is a 12.
Oh, you're not allowed more than that?
No. No, not for hunting class. We're using hunting bows, not target
bows. Oh, okay. I'm thinking of the target bows, how they have like 10-foot stabilizer in the front of it.
3-footers and the 24-inch ones, yes. No, for hunting class, the max is 12 inches. Actually, I went over with Dwayne about that the other day at work, because he does a lot of the 3D competitions here in the area. And the stabilizer itself has to be, is maximum is allowed is 12 inches, but with your accessories, like your wrist sling adapter, like both of us have, and a quick disconnect on the front, all of that combined, I guess, can't be over 13 and a half inches long.
Okay, I was going to say, are they saying 12 with all that included? So technically, you'd have to be like a
10. No, yeah. No, it's 12 just for the stabilizer with accessories. I believe it, depending on where you go, it's usually 14 inches and under with all accessories attached.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't think there's any more accessories I could...
Well, some people like to add the extra weights to the front and, like, go crazy put, like, 5-6 ounces. They'll measure it from the front of your riser to the end, and if your weights, even though you might need that extra ounce or ounce and a half, you're going to take them off because your bow's over... Your stabilizing setup is over 14 inches long.
Okay. That makes sense. So, well, you got to have people on the same level at some point.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, both of us have quick releases on the front of our bow, so I'm never going to go through that issue I had with that Browning again. That shit's not going to happen where I strip shit out and have to re-tap it and all that. No. So quick disconnects for me.
I definitely like those quick disconnects.
And then also I've been looking at possibly a different bow because I really do miss shooting PSEs. I like my Bear and everything like that, but I don't know. Something about my Brownings and PSEs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Old habits.
Yes, old habits, I guess.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
You know, I have my eye on one right now that if I can get it for the price, it's ridiculous.
What bow?
A PSE Inertia.
For how much? You don't want to say it on air, do you?
No.
Why? I don't.
Because someone will go look for it.
Oh, okay.
No.
So
and it's brand new, never used, never been shot.
Then why are they selling it for so cheap?
2016 model.
So?
2017's right. It's like cars. If it ain't the new shit, no one wants it.
It doesn't make any sense.
I don't care. If I can get it for that much, I'm going to buy it.
Oh.
And it does... 348 feet per second.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much 30 feet per second faster than my Bear.
I guess we'll see.
Haul some ass.
Is that why you've been hoarding your money?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Just making sure.
Hell yeah. Not stupid. So.
But I think, well, everyone will find out what happens with that.
Oh, yeah. If I get on next week and I'm cursing because I got bummed out because I didn't get it. But he's right now the same dude has an Inertia and a Full Throttle.
Okay.
And they're both stupid cheap.
How much is the Full Throttle? Show me hand signals. Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I'm like. Do I want the 350 bow or do I want the fastest bow on the fucking planet that does 370?
Interesting.
Yeah. So. That's what I was like.
Where is it off of? Or do you want to say that either?
No, I really
am
don't.
Am I asking too many questions?
Yeah, you are.
Right?
You really are asking too many questions. Yes. Yeah. So.
I'm getting like death looks.
Yeah. Pretty much. It's like, stop talking about it.
Want to make a reference that I want another bow.
All right. Well,
I will end up selling my bear anyway. So I'm not going to keep it.
It's fine.
So the only thing is, like, if the full throttle is that, you know, it's that hunting bow. I'm going to take the 3D shoot. I may not take it in the woods, though.
Why?
I'll show you a picture of the cams. They're very, very open. So if you hit them, it's a good chance you could damage them.
Oh.
Whereas the inertia cams are very, very tight, nice,
full solid. If that would be your only bow, then why? I don't understand why.
No, I know people that go hunting with full throttles.
Okay.
But, you know, it's always the make sure you don't drop it.
Well, that's something to think about, huh?
Yeah, that's why I was like, that's why I'm leaning more towards the inertia. Fine, it does 350. It's still 70-pound pull. It's got the KE behind it. It'll be able to push my FMJs no problem.
Right.
Actually, it'll push my FMJs. If I did the numbers right, I mean, it should have my heavy-ass arrows doing pretty close to like 305 a second,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy. I mean, I seen a video... a review for the inertia today with a 400 and it was a 60-pound inertia, not a 70-pound.
Okay.
With a 60-pound inertia with a 450 grain arrow. Now, my arrows are slightly heavier than that. Mine are like 470, 480. But with a 60-pound bow, they were doing 294 feet a second.
I was going to say 390. Yeah.
So if you put 10 more pounds of pressure behind that, it's going to break the 300 mark with my arrows. Or okay. Should be right on 300 feet a second, which would be a disgusting shot. It's hauling ass, yeah. You know, you're talking me using my carbons and them breaking like 320, 325. So.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Definitely, everyone will know if I get it because it's... Well, I'm sure we'll be posting pictures of it and whatever, and it's nice. It's black. See, I'm not gonna get the skull works, even though I do love the skull works.
It's just a nice print. If you want it, it's fine.
No,
get it.
If I want to be like you, no, they don't have it. They just have the black shadow paint, which is fine. Black's fine because then I can black and red it, black and green it, whatever I want.
Right.
So, and then we'll be making a bunch of changes to yours. It was all stabilizer wise, and then
yeah, we already discussed this.
Well, no, I want to see if you want to stay with the site you have now.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay with it.
Or do you want to upgrade to the Archer Choice one that has the wheel? Because you don't like the arm that's on yours.
Yeah, no, I don't like it.
That's what I'm saying. So maybe with yours, it might still be an Archer's Choice, but we may go to the next one in the series because we only picked up the one we had because you know I was being Mr. Thrifty and. Cheap when we first started the podcast.
So, cheap.
You know, if I can get you the one with the wheel, I know I am. If I can get you the one with the wheel on it because it's easier adjustability for you and stuff like that, and you know, that's something. And it also has micro adjust for the windage.
Yeah. Instead of the bulk. The easier it is to adjust, I like it better.
That's what I'm saying. We may just swap yours out for the upgraded version of what you have, and then you get to keep your magnification and all that nifty stuff. And then we'll swap out your stabilizer, see if that helps.
Yeah, as long as my magnification is coming with me.
Yes, your magnification is going with you. I'm, you know.
That's it.
But yeah, that should be about all. We'll see how some of the stuff works out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone will know, I'm sure.
That wraps it up.
Yep, I'm good. So, everyone, have a nice week. We'll be back next week. Let everyone know what goes on. So.
We're out.
All right. Later.